Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watched on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, Nadia. What an episode, huh?
Oh, yeah. A lot of mic drops.
Mic drops?
Yeah.
But like Mike?
Mike getting dropped. Yeah. Oh, that too, yes. But let me start with this, Lon. He's yummy.
She loved
it. Baby, Kimbali. Kimbali.
I don't know. That kind of language makes me cringe.
Right? Did you catch there was a scene where he had a quick boop touch, a boop grab?
No.
When they were in that van, the minivan, the shuttle to the airport.
To the airport, I didn't catch.
I was watching Pillow Talk and someone saw it. I think it was Jovi and Yara caught it.
Oh, great. Snuck a quick one in there. Huh?
Yeah, snuck a quick goodbye grab. I don't know what else to say because we talked about this last week. Usman is married. And then we will see in the next episode. He's trying to holler at Zara. That could only mean one thing. Kimbali was nothing, right? I mean, she's just a side chick.
Yeah.
She's a sneaky link.
This thing for this episode, to me, it felt like he was just kind of appeasing her because he knew it's her final hours and then she was gone. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
But even then, he wouldn't kiss her in public. And exactly. I was like, for somebody who's just like going to appease her for her final hours there. I was like, for him to still, even that, to still not give her a kiss. I was like, dang, bro.
Yeah. But even, pack.
Yeah. And when they said goodbye and stuff, and like, he was like, yeah, you know, we'll be together again soon. It just felt really hollow. Like he was just saying that. It just felt like he was just saying that. Like,
yeah.
Okay, she's leaving and just say whatever. And then when she's gone, whatever, we can have the breakup conversation or whatever. She's just going to be out of here. So I think he was just doing what it took to make things like a peaceful exit, but still no kiss. The yummy was good, but
the yummy stops there.
Yeah. He has his limits. Yeah. We don't need to talk about any more of it. That's really all I have to.
Yeah, it definitely looked like he's still embarrassed by her to be around her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for Kimbali, but, well, you know. Let's move on to Gino and Jasmine. I have a joke. I'm not sure if you will catch it.
Let's hear it.
And by the way, I'm not original, but I saw this, but I want to see Lon if you get it. So remember, Gino says he has 650,000 in investment or in retirement money.
Stocks, right? Yeah.
Is that in lits?
Oh.
Right? Probably like lits biggest customer and
smart,
investor.
Yeah, smart investment. I'm going to have to check it out. Jump on Robinhood right now. Let's see how they're doing.
Yeah. So for those not from US, if you guys are interested to know, Lit is a store that sells predominantly the snapbacks, right?
Headgear.
Gear. Caps.
Hats.
Stuff that Gino will wear permanently.
Smart buy for a guy like Gino.
Right?
Yeah. So it's not really my position to say how a woman feels about the last name bit. So maybe you can talk more about that. For me, I think, though, my biggest takeaway about this scene was he really needs to be super, super upfront about his finances with her. I think he takes kind of a softer approach. So when he says, oh, I don't really have money and this like that, it sounds like I have money. I just don't want you to have it. He needs to tell her I'm fucking broke.
Yeah, I'm not employed.
Yeah. The seriousness of our situation, you're not quite catching. We need to sit down and I need to be a super honest, 100% real with you right now. We are thin and I am broke. Like, I think you need to have that you know, what some people call a come to Jesus, I guess, right. meeting, right?
Yep.
Because I just don't think she's getting it. I just don't think she's getting it. And he's been telling her this for a very long time, and they didn't need to do this whole conversation with his uncle. Was it his uncle or somebody?
Yeah.
Like, uncle. I'm just like, you don't need to show us this. Like, we know this already. I think Gino, and maybe this is all fabricated, and maybe Gino does know he needs to have that conversation, but they played it up a little bit. And I'm like, Gino, I don't think she's getting it. And bless her heart, I understand that she can't afford a place without a roommate and he's helping her out. But there are times when she does seem insensitive about the financial situation. Like, I deserve this, you know? And
yeah.
And you better
you
pay
need to
this.
Help me.
You need to, yeah. Like,
wait, did she say her rental was $700?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
It was
Panama City. That's not bad, right?
Not too bad. And he said it came with a bunch of stuff, right? Like he said Wi-Fi and a bunch of channels and stuff. But again, right, he made it seem like this is nothing. So she expected it. So and then he had to backpedal and say, oh, well, it's still a lot. You know, it's still a lot. Yeah, it's still a fucking lot. So, like, don't downplay your situation, bro. You got to let her know, dude, this is a lot of money, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Jasmine was expecting that because he has been sponsoring all her cosmetic surgeries and enhancements?
Yeah.
And maybe that's why she thinks he's like a flowing tap water of he's her ATM, basically, right?
Right. We're not privy to all the different conversations that these guys are telling these women, you know, when they're gaming, right? When they're gaming and flirting and chatting and the privilege that Americans have and how we kind of think that we're the best. Who knows what kind of shit was coming out of his mouth? There's all kinds of stuff that these guys are saying. And I'm not saying Gino was saying any of it, but I mean, it's pretty typical that guys make these promises to people in other countries that, oh, baby, I'll take care of you. Right. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure that's how many of these conversations go. Like, I'll take care of you. I've got money, you know, thinking that somehow we are rescuers of people in other countries. We are saviors. We play that savior role and we are better off in America. We have the financial means to do it. And if they hook up with us, that they will be taken care of. And I think that's the narrative for most of these conversations that these guys are having with these foreign women. So like, I have no idea what expectations he had set for her. And maybe he was employed at the time that he said it, but things change. So yeah. Why does she have these expectations? She didn't just pull them out of thin air. Maybe she did. You know, she watches American TV and she sees our lifestyle and maybe thinks that, but there's got to be some kind of expectation setting from Gino too. So what has he been telling her? And has he been holding up his end of the bargain?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if he did tell her these things, then it's his responsibility to also say, well, times have changed and I'm not like that anymore. I'm not balling anymore. And the reality is, I'm having a difficult time making ends meet and we need to be conservative about our spending.
Yeah.
It's just now that she's going to be your wife, especially like number one reason of divorce, right? Is financials and stuff.
Yeah. Did I hear correctly that Jasmine has 3 jobs?
Did she? She did. I think she did say
she
that.
She was
right?
saying that it was like part of the argument that she needs.
Yeah.
Help
that she couldn't afford. Yeah.
So yeah,
even with my 3
job,
I can't afford this. Yeah. It was like, oh, excuse me.
What 3 jobs
were,
are we talking about here?
Teacher. Yeah. Yeah.
And what was it that you said something about the last name? I didn't catch any of that.
Oh, the final argument they had was she, I don't know how she found out. Yeah. I don't know how she found out.
Oh no. Yes. Now I know. I know what you're insinuating. It's the fact that his ex-wife still has her his last name.
Right.
And I mean, that's
you better straighten that shit out.
Yeah, but that's none of her business. You cannot force someone to change out of a married name. Some people want to keep it.
Yeah.
You know, like I've seen people keep their married name even though they're long divorced. There are so many celebrities that do that.
It's an inconvenience, right? I don't know. I've never had to change my last name, but I know people when they married, they do it as part of American tradition, or I don't know how many other traditions, but some people like the hassle of going through a name change and stuff is just like, it's not a priority. Yeah. Yet. I don't fucking need to deal with that. Like it's a name, whatever. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
my biggest takeaway from their scenes is the fact that he's acting so afraid of her. Like, he's so reluctant to bring up the topic of prenup. Like, I think you shouldn't be afraid of your partner. The moment you're afraid, like you're tiptoeing around them, that's unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you cannot have a decent adult conversation with your partner without worrying about or without fearing for your life that they might explode or they might Hulk out because of it, that's a problem.
Yep.
And I think that's his current relationship with Jasmine, is that he knows what would trigger her, and the prenup is likely one of it.
Yeah. He's walking on eggshells at the moment.
So what do you think of Memphis and Hamza's wedding ceremony?
All right. I thought it was beautiful. Uh-huh. I thought it was beautiful, the culture aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was really disappointed that she didn't take the time. You're getting married. You're getting married. It didn't occur to you? Is this how rushed things were? Did you rush everything so fast that you didn't bother to understand the ceremony and the mm-hmm. things that needed to be done and maybe the responsibilities you needed to do? Like, I would have looked that up. I would have, you know, she's like, I don't know what this prayer is about. And she's kind of like laughing and trying to make it funny and stuff. I don't know. Ha ha ha. I don't know what weddings. I just occurred to me that I didn't know that I was going to be marrying into a different culture. And I don't have any idea what things are about. Right. I'm like, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Are you serious? Like, you're already in different formal wear and picking things out. It didn't once occur to you to go, well, let me see if there are any requirements that I need to meet, or if there are things that I need to do, or what the ceremony is going to be about. Like, did she not talk to him about it or anything like that? Did he not walk her through? And it was just kind of just like, if I went to a wedding and the person there was just looking lost and looking like, where the hell am I? I'd be like, whoa, this is kind of odd. This is a really special day. And you're up there looking like you don't know what the hell is going on. So I just wish maybe she just invested a little more time in that.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, is that do you think Memphis should have clued herself on the wedding tradition, or should it fall under Hamza's family to coach her or at least brief, you know, teach her how to at least fake it? Because her giving those funny looks isn't helping, right? Because it's almost insulting.
Yeah.
Like, she's like looking around the room like, okay, what am I doing? And I can forgive her for not knowing how to do the right thing, but at least be respectful and not, you know what I mean? Like, the way
these are religious ceremonies, right?
Yeah, there's religious undertones for sure. Like, they did recite a verse from the Quran, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I get it, she's a foreigner, but at the same time, like, wouldn't you want to embrace the whole tradition mm-hmm. and the meaning behind it? Like, wouldn't you want to know what's happening or what will happen during your own wedding ceremony? I just feel like Memphis is one of those, and I hate to say this, like one of those Americans that just like, oh, I'm American, I stay in this lane. Like, I don't want to eat this lamb, this weird meat that I've never had before. I'm like, dude, lamb is fucking delicious.
Lamb is lamb. Good.
Yeah. Like, she's acting awkward, and had she been more open about this whole ceremony, she would have enjoyed herself more.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about the post-nup.
Yeah, that could have been it, maybe. She couldn't go all in. She couldn't just, like, embrace it all and enjoy the moment, or, like, get excited about the wedding. Her priorities were different.
Yeah.
You know, her priorities were not about the wedding.
It could also be the fact that that's not her dream wedding and she's just checked out. You know, she's like, well, I'm not like walking down the aisle in a white dress. There's no like priest marrying me or something like that. I'm just speculating here. I'm just thinking like she might be checked out and she's just going along with it. But what's sadder than that is the fact that there are rumors out there, maybe not even rumors, but maybe news that, because now that Memphis and Hamza are no longer together, Memphis claims that the baby isn't his.
I saw something like that. I didn't read into it, though.
Yeah.
I just saw a meme of like Mari saying, you are not the father. And I was like, wait, I'll table that discussion for later. So is that true?
I don't know if she truly got pregnant during that trip.
I was thinking that too. Is the window possible for that?
Yeah, some people say, oh, the math is right. And then some people like, well, it must be something that she got from maybe last month. I mean, okay, let's not like get too hung up about that, right? Maybe it's his, maybe it isn't, right?
It was from when she needed consolation.
Yeah.
You remember?
Exactly.
Come on.
Mystery solved.
You just needed somebody to talk to.
Yeah. That could be
Come on. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Because you usually find out you're pregnant on your next cycle. So if we were to believe that she spent, I don't know, 3 weeks at Tunisia, you're telling me that night when he slept with her in his room and he nutted inside her.
Yeah.
It's likely, but I don't know. And the fact that she's coming out right now telling people that it's not his.
Maybe. It's probably not his. You wouldn't just say that and then it came out to be his.
It's hurtful though. Like you lied to him and you lied to us and you lied on national TV if that's the case, right?
Yeah. These people aren't who they make themselves out to be on TV.
Yeah. I think it's very messy of her to do this. The fact that she actually revealed that they didn't practice safe sex.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you mean to tell me that Memphis was actually going to bring over a guy whom her children have not met to be their stepdad, carrying his child, supposedly. Like, how irresponsible is that?
Yeah. She totally rushed everything here. I don't know what she, I don't know what she was thinking.
Yeah, she totally rushed, including the fact that she didn't have a fucking prenup.
Yeah.
Man,
hot mess.
Sucks that she's a healthcare professional. Like, you question her credibility, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, I hope she's better at her job than being a reality TV star. Ooh, I can't wait to talk about this one. She's a cold, mean, evil bitch.
What do you say? Iwe de puta.
Like, bruh, just say bitch. Like, just say son of a bitch. Like, why do you have to change it up to Spanish? Like, it doesn't give you brownie point or anything. you don't level just because you cuss one time in Spanish. Anyway, this motherfucker. Let's start there.
That was also a hot mess, dude.
Didn't we tell y'all? Like, they finally revealed it.
Yeah.
He was her best customer.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, like, for him to go double standard all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Like, unacceptable.
Look, like, here's the thing. If you're going to shame somebody, don't be a consumer. It's like these people, you know, and I'm not saying that it was porn or anything or sex work or whatever. If you're going to shame sex workers, then don't consume their content.
Mm.
Right. And as we find out here, why are you doing that, Mike? That's how you met her.
Yeah.
That's why you're talking to her. So for you to just start to talk about it like it's something she should be ashamed of or something like that was just a bad look. And he was totally messy. Like, if somebody doesn't want you there, then leave. And I get the whole, well, I pay my rent here. I get that argument. I pay my rent here. I'm going to stay here. But dude, that was just super uncomfortable to watch where you're forcing yourself to stay in her children's room and stuff. And she's like telling you to leave. I just was like, Gross. Dude, just leave, man. She's giving you all the stuff back. I feel bad for Mike. Let me start there. Like, I feel bad for him, but at the same time, when breakups get this ugly and stuff, and I think she's being upfront. So here's where I side with Ximena. She's being upfront. She's telling you to go. She's giving you all the stuff back. She's saying, keep it. I just do not want to be with you anymore, period. And then for you to just hang around thinking she'll change her mind and then waiting until the next morning and then the next morning bringing it up again, as if she didn't just tell you hours before. And when he goes, what do you mean? I think that you're just angry and that we should work it out. No, because she just told you hours before that already, dude. Like, can you just go? You know, and I felt her frustration when he like went into the room and sat down and he said, I'm not leaving. And she chased after him and she said, fucking go. Can you just leave? And it brought me back to how I felt with like worst roommate. You know, like just telling the fucking guy, dude, fucking, can you just leave? Can you fucking leave? And there's nothing you can do because the guy's like, nope, I'm going to stay. I just pull my hair out. Like, we're going to fight, bro. If you don't go, it brought me to that level of frustration. If there's a guy here, he's not fucking leaving. And like, you don't want to get violent, but man, like saying leave isn't working. And he's just there. He's like, do something about it. I'm like, dude, it brought me to that level of, I'm so frustrated right now, Mike, just, can you just leave? And you could see she was also like, can you go? Like, just leave. Here's your shit, man. Yeah. So it was a tough watch, entertaining, but still like tough. And the entire time I was talking to my TV, I was like, Mike, just go, Mike.
Let's go. Yeah.
Just go. Just go. It's done. If you would only listen to what your friend said. So here's the thing. Mike was just intent on like trying to salvage it. He should just listen to what his friend said from the jump. And instead of trying to sleep with her and seeing if that would change her mind. That's what he thought was maybe if we fuck, right? Excuse my French. That maybe could change things. And then to throw the money. That was even cringe to make it about money. So you're going to lose the best thing you had. All my money and stuff is gone. And I'm just, don't make it about that, bro.
I lost it when he said that. I was like, the audacity of this owl looking troll. Like, no, just no.
Yeah. And she's like, I can make my own money, dude.
Yeah.
And then comes the shame in, right? Oh, what? Doing your adult
what, modeling?
Webcam internet modeling? Yeah, like, oh, come on, bro.
He acting like he took her off the streets. She wasn't off the street. She was working. And you.
Yeah, he said that, didn't he? And you and your children would be on the streets.
Yeah, you sent her money without her asking. You wanted her off the webcam. So you sent her money. You supported her life. And just because of that, you think you're entitled to her and her body?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
Fucking incel.
That's really what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my takeaways too, is that not only did she confirm that's how they met, right? Through the webcam. Well, she was doing webcam modeling and he's always there being her biggest client. And also the fact that he sent money without her asking. I just don't like the fact that he's trying to act like a savior. You know, like it's so repulsive in so many levels. Like, so the fact that you as an American thinking that you're saving this Colombian girl and taking her off the streets, she was doing fine without you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ask you to come to Colombia and save her. You just impose yourself on her and trying to make a relationship out of it. And I just thought that she made it very clear to him and he just either doesn't understand or he just has no boundaries. Like, he should practice some boundaries because she made it very clear. She was very classy when she returned the engagement and the wedding rings. I thought that was very classy of her. But the fact that he rejected it, thinking that they're going to work things out, like, he just feels so entitled. Or again, some people felt that maybe this is Mike's first serious relationship and he doesn't know what a breakup looks like. So in his mind, and especially with the language barrier, as exemplified by, you know, him calling her stupid when she's just saying this whole situation was stupid.
Stupid, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he know what he, okay, well, we'll get back. We'll circle back.
Yeah. The one thing that I would kind of give him a pass on is that when you're in your first serious relationship and a breakup happens, sometimes you don't know how to react. And I remember my first breakup and I was at a loss. Some people act stupid. They act foolish. They don't get the message. It's like they're in this loop of denial. And I think that was what happens. That's his meltdown. And we saw it happening. And like his true colors started to surface. And then we kind of see like, okay, this is the ugly side of Mike. He's no longer that nice guy that we all thought he was. And he's definitely not a victim. He's far from it.
Yeah.
But I can understand how and why he acted that way, if this was truly his first serious relationship. Because what that tells me is that he's losing the best thing that could have happened to him. The fact that he had to go all the way to Colombia to get a chick tells us that she's the best thing that happened to him, not he's the best thing that happened to her.
Her response, too, to that, when he said,
It's like, my kids are more.
Yeah.
My kids are more important to me. And
my kids are the best thing that happened to me. Yeah. I was like, woo, Mike.
Mic drop, right?
Yeah.
And then he came back with like, I could have taught you English. I could get you a decent job in New York. And she was like, I don't want to go to New York.
Who wants to go to New York? Yeah. I want to stay here in Colombia, bro.
That's the thing is that maybe he didn't get it. He thinks that, oh, I gave her money. She's definitely for sure would like to follow me back to the US. Huh. Okay. Yeah. Let me go do all these things. Let me support her and all that and bring her back and marry her and whatever. And here's Jimena being happy in Colombia, raising her kids in Colombia. She has no intention to get a green card. But in Mike's mind, she's gagging for it for some reason. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's totally what I got. This sense of entitlement that like, I'm the best thing that ever happened to you. I can change your life. I can save you from this lifestyle of webcam money and or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but like, she's fine. She's fine doing her and she's choosing her happiness. She's choosing her happiness over what you can offer her and respect that.
Yeah.
Respect it. And it didn't have to become this messy ordeal. I think your friend had already told you, look, like she's repulsed by you. Like, I don't know how that was the biggest reality check. Like your friend telling you she's repulsed by you. She doesn't want anything to do with you. So like now you're going to blow up because you didn't listen to your friend when your friend was giving you the facts. You're the one that decided to stick around and kind of like try to figure this out and try to salvage everything.
Yeah.
It was already, these facts were already on the table. So yeah, it's definitely denial. You know, he just didn't want to accept it.
Yeah.
And this idea that he was somehow going to save her or whatever. And she didn't want any of that. She didn't want to live in New York. She didn't want, you know, to be set up with this, whatever future that you have going on. She just wants to not be with you.
Yeah.
And when someone has reached that level, there's no amount of money that can buy that.
Yeah.
Right. When you're done, you're done. People have been married to rich people in other situations and have left just because they're simply unhappy. So like, if she's not happy with you, when someone is so over it that they're telling you like, pack your bags, here's your stuff, by the way, you can have everything in the house that you bought, that you got me, take it back with you. Like, they do not want anything to do with you. You know,
yeah, it's
she's
over.
Reached that point. Yeah. It's done. It's done. She's over it.
Yeah. Before we move on, at least we can end on a nice, on a positive note here. Jimena did get engaged recently.
Yay!
To a Canadian.
What?
Yeah.
Where is it, in Toronto or?
No. I think this was in Colombia. I think he's Canadian by nationality, but he may be a Spanish.
I was like, Canadian. That's awfully close to New York.
I know, right? What is up with her in that part of North America? But at least we know she got her happily ever after, or at least is striving to get her happily ever after. And it's not with Mike, and we're good. We're okay with that.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let's end it with Ben and Mahogany.
Ew.
Oh, that. Okay, let me be very honest here. When that kissing scene came on, I was screaming for a good 40 seconds. I bet my neighbors thought I needed rescuing. Like, I was so grossed out. I shouted at the top of my lungs. Like, I screamed. It was fucking gross. And the acting was so bad. And I watched it again because at first it didn't click on me on what exactly made it bad. But then I realized it's because when Mahogany was looking at his lips, that's when I knew the kiss was going to happen. And it's almost like it was set up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in those like very cheesy, not cheesy, but you know, in movies, right?
It felt like a telenovela. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
It felt like that. Like the music was thing. Yeah. He walked her to the edge of the water and it's like nighttime. I'm like, just like, oh my gosh. I had the same feeling. Like, oh my gosh, what is this?
Yeah.
And she's like, what did she say? Confuso.
Confuso.
Confuso. I was like, dude.
He's like, impossible. No. Right, confuso. Now? Confuso. And then suddenly they lock lips. I'm like,
I'm just I felt the same way. I was like, dude, is this like, I even wrote that in my notes, like, this feels like a telenovela or whatever. Yeah. What are we fucking watching? Yeah, I cringed at that part too.
Oh, anyway, I have to say, she has one of the best exits in 90 Day Fiancé. The way she breaks up with Ben.
Yeah.
You know, the way she left him in Huacachina, and now she was like, yeah, keep talking. Okay, bye.
Bye. Dude, he doesn't get it. He does not.
Okay, can I just say he doesn't get it? But to his credit, though, he was asking valid questions.
He was asking valid questions, but to me, it felt like he was pulling the reverse Uno card without first addressing. And I think that's what she had a problem with. So if someone says, hey, Lon, can you tell me about XYZ? And then I go, okay, but how about like ABC? Now, let me answer your questions first, though. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's almost kind of like what we see in politics when they're like, you know, Donald, can we see your taxes? Well, can we see Hillary's emails? Okay, yeah, we'll get to the fucking emails. Show me your taxes, though, bro. Like, can
That's
you
such
do
a
that?
Great example.
Yeah,
dude.
It's like that. And I'm not for or against either party. I think both parties do it, you know, politics aside. I think they both do it.
Yeah.
Right. And this is the thing. Like, that's the thing is like, you're going to try to like pull the reverse Uno card, bro. Like, can you at least answer the valid concern? Yeah, he has valid concerns.
What was her valid concerns, though? Let me ask you that.
So it goes back to the campfire discussions they had and how she was trying to talk about, I guess, you know, you never told me that you had these problems with your like ex-wife and stuff. And I forget all the different points, but he was telling her stuff that was questionable. And then when she asked the questions, he backtracked and he said, well, I don't think we got to talk about all that. And she's like, that's the reason we're here, though. It's the reason you brought me to this fucking fire so we could talk and stuff, right? So he's like, yeah, let me set up these romantic stuff so we can get to know each other. But then when she asks like the questions that need to be asked, you start saying, well, we don't got to get into that.
Okay.
But now you're flipping it on her and you're expecting her to explain herself. And what I mean by he doesn't get it is, bro, you're the one that needs to win her. She doesn't need to win you. Like, if she's made it abundantly clear this entire trip, she can walk away at any time. It is you that's like following her, that's trying to pull her in. This is not how you pull her in, bro. This is how you push her away. So like, for me, when that scene came on, I'm like, dude, do you not get it? This is the immaturity, right, of the Ben situation. It seems to me like he's constantly testing her limits and stuff. And she's like, all right, well, I'm going to show you. And then she walks away. I'm not going to show up to breakfast. Let's see how you like that. Right. Let me question you now about, she doesn't need any of this bullshit, bro. But these games that you're fucking playing, she don't need any of it.
Yeah.
She just needs to walk away. Like, what don't you get? Like, you're the one that's chasing her, dude. Like, she doesn't need you. She can pull any guy that she wants. I'm not saying any guy. I'm obviously that's a blanket statement. I'm just saying she's a young woman. She's attractive. She has a much better shot right now, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. She doesn't need this relationship. She can find another one. Whereas you're already having difficulty finding, you know, self-admittedly, like, this is the love of your life and this is it for you and stuff. And so like, I don't know why you're acting like you have all these, like you hold so many cards in your deck. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that. She's in a very different position than you are to play these games that you're trying to play with her. So like, and as you can see, it gets worse. It gets even cringier. Like, did you see the preview?
Yeah.
When she gets in the car and then he opens the car door. I'm like, no, what are you doing? Yeah. He's like, hey, no, I need to answer you. I need to ask you some questions. And she's like, whoa, dude.
Yeah. I definitely have a different perspective now that you've laid it out like that. And I think the problem with Ben too is that I think that she has shown that she has put up barriers, right? She's put up this barrier and he's trying to cross over that. But she has sort of like drawn the line there. Like, she's like, you're not going to get any closer, I feel. And he's just trying to push it. And I can see how that definitely annoys her. But I think why I felt differently from your perspective.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yeah, because when I look at that scene alone, Like, he's just trying to have a conversation with her about trust. Because when we look at the whole, from whichever episode that they introduce us to Ben and Mahogany, the pictures are fake. I wouldn't say fake, right? Like doctored, right?
Right. He has points. I'll give him. Yeah. Get it. Yeah.
Her place was fake. Obviously, it was an Airbnb, right?
He didn't. Did he bring? I don't think he brought that up. He didn't. Bring that I would have brought up that entire shit. Like,
he was so suspect of it, right? Because he was like, "Oh, you stay here. Like, there's no belongings. Like, your kitchen's not stocked. Okay, whatever."
What if he started the conversation that way? Like, so, tell me why there was a surfboard in your living room.
Yeah, I know. And then the age was fake too, and she pretended like she didn't know that she gave him a different age. So again, like, it makes me as a viewer question, like, why did she say she's 23 turning 24 and not 22? Like, he has a receipt, we know that, because they showed a text. So I think all of that, and the fact that she acts so cold towards him compared to like how she acts, how they chat over text messages, I think that all like culminated to him having trust issues with her. And that's what he's trying to like get her to talk about. But I think the fact that she walked away kind of shows that she doesn't want to confront that. And then that makes it a cop out to me.
Yeah.
But well, I get it.
Definitely copping out.
Yeah. But I get that Ben tends to push it. I guess it's because he feels that, oh, I came all the way to Peru, so I have to take my chances. Whether or not she wants to talk to me, I'm just going to go for it. Like, if I were Ben and she left me behind at a city that's like 2 hours away from my, whichever, right, to Lima or whatever where he was staying, I would be majorly pissed and I would get that message loud and clear and I would just leave her alone. But the fact that he kept trying, like, he doesn't get the message. He's like Mike. He doesn't get it. It hasn't sunken in yet that she's not that into him.
She's not in it the way he's in it. I think this is one of those things where, again, it's the internet relationship pitfalls. Mm-hmm. And I think she gets that. As a younger person, she gets that she just, yo, I just met this person that I chat with online and our conversations are different online. And now that we're face to face, things are different. And so she's viewing it through that younger lens of like, you know, she could be talking to many different people online, by the way. So for her, this is a guy and yeah, he has his moments, but there's times when he's weird and I really don't need to invest 100% into this. So she has options. So when he starts putting the pressure on and starts doing these things that she doesn't really need to tolerate because number 4, 5, and 6 are a phone call away. But then she has that luxury of just saying, you know what? I don't need to deal with this because the other guy, the other guy didn't lie to my age about, and he doesn't give a fuck. So I'm going to go in this car and leave. You know what I mean? So I think that she understands that this is the risk she put herself in when like dating a guy on the internet and now they're face to face and she can think rationally and say, okay, there's things that aren't adding up. I just got to be careful. And if I need to bail, I can bail. That's an option that I have.
Right.
And he's not on that page.
Yeah. He's not. I mean, they're both not on the same page.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're confuso. We're very confuso by this. Someone on Pillow Talk actually said, because remember she kept asking him like, why don't you get along with your wife? And I forgot his name, but the guy that's with Annie from Dominican Republic, he said, well, technically if Ben gets along with his wife, they would still be married. Right? Good point.
Was he married twice?
No, he was married once and I think he got engaged
somebody
dated
else.
And he dated a younger girl as well.
That's what it was.
So we've reached the end of our coverage of 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days season 5 episode
15. I think it's 15. Yeah, I think it's 15.
My god, I'm so bad at this. I'm sorry guys. It's like a pattern with me. Lon, may you share your WTF moment?
Yeah.
Por favor.
Yes, it was the telenovela scene.
Confuso.
Confuso. It's Confuso. Yeah, I just thought everything about that scene was, I was entertained. It was very cringy, but also very like, what the fuck am I watching? It was confusing. Soy confuso, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was grossly entertained, but more gross than entertained.
But then also when she's like, for his age, like, what do you mean for his age that he's a good kisser? If anything, older people should be better kissers because we've kissed more, or I would think that we've had more experience in that area. So I was like, what do you mean? Like, what are you trying to say? Like, for his age, that like older people can't kiss. So that was kind of a weird thing for her to say when she said, oh, he's a good kisser for his age. He's surprisingly a good kisser. I'm like, damn. What?
He's ageist.
That, yeah, ageist, you ageist.
That was an ageist comment.
What does that mean?
I still can't get over her hair. Anyway, my WTF moment was the argument between Mike and Ximena, especially Mike not wanting to leave the house and claiming that he has the receipts that he pays rent. And calling her stupido and hija de puta.
So here's my thing. I was going to say, I think he's been speaking enough Spanish for him to know what he said.
Yeah.
I think
in that moment, the heat of the moment, he probably forgot the translation.
I think in the heat of the moment, he was angry and he said it and then he didn't know how to backtrack. So
probably.
He said,
yeah. That too.
There's a lot. Again, speculation, folks. Right, we can't speak for Mike.
Yeah. All right, Lon, quick update. Remember Victor and Ellie? Ellie, the chick that owns the pizza place
in Seattle. Seattle. Right.
And Victor from Providencia, sorry.
Yes. And
he made it to the US.
What? Yay. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, there are pictures of him at her pizzeria in Seattle, Washington, and yeah, I guess that means he crossed over.
Very cool. That's a cool little update. They're working things out then.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
That's good. Maybe we'll see them some more. I don't know. All right, Alon, I think, you know, I guess we have to jump on the bandwagon and talk about the slap that was heard all over the world.
Mm.
Give me your take on that.
All right. So I don't condone violence. Mm-hmm. I understand that argument. I don't condone violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it sets a dangerous precedent if you can walk on stage because you didn't like a joke and that you can attack a comedian. Mm. I do believe that we allow comedians to say certain things. If you're going to a comedy show, you know there's going to be jokes and that these jokes may be offensive. And if slapping, attacking a comedian for a bad joke. So let me say this first. There are bad jokes. There are jokes that are terrible. There are jokes that are mean and they're cruel. And it goes back to the whole Chappelle trying to say, if you're going to punch, punch down. So I understand there's a lot. And I'm not like a comedian myself, like a professional comedian. I consider myself funny at times. But I'm not a comedian in that I understand the different nuances of what a good joke entails and what a bad joke entails.
Right.
But I do know jokes that I like and I know jokes that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a dangerous precedent where you could just attack a comedian for doing their job, right? For telling jokes, which is their job, or for hosting an award show, which is their job, to just go on stage and attack them physically for something that you didn't like, for a bad joke or for something that didn't say. I think like if it's open season on comedians, I think that's bad. Definitely. If anyone can just walk up now to, you know, it to wherever, some happy hour right now where there's a comedian telling a joke and punch him or slap him in his face for saying a bad joke, then comedians are in fucking danger. They're in trouble.
Yeah.
But with that said though, I think sometimes when you're, and I can't speak for comedians because I'm not a comedian, like I said. There are times too, though, where sometimes it can come off as maybe bullying or insensitive. And when it comes to where do we draw the line then? Is there a line even? That's so like a delicate topic like to discuss, because if we don't, then comedians can't say anything. if we draw a line somewhere, then that means comedians can't really say anything because they won't be able to tell like their jokes or whatever. But when someone says something that's insulting, that's hurtful to your partner, it doesn't have to be Will Smith and Jada, but in this example, it is. He said something that's just so, that can be seen, mm-hmm. or that is actually very insensitive to somebody whose hair loss was not really their decision. And then, you know, there's rumors that he didn't know, that he just didn't know. But then there's other rumors, and I don't know what the facts are behind all that. All facts aside, I can understand, and I'm not justifying Will's violence. People will say, oh, now you're justifying Will's violence. I'm justifying Will's emotions. When you see your wife hurt and people say, yeah, he laughed at the joke. Yeah, well, when you laugh at a joke, that's different. Things can escalate like that. Mm. You can find something funny and in that same second, see the pain your wife is experiencing and turn the entire emotion around. Like, don't say you've not been in that situation before where you realize, oh shit, maybe I'm laughing at something that I shouldn't be laughing at. And I completely understand why that would hurt somebody. I've been in those situations. I've been in those situations where I wasn't thinking, I thought something was funny. And it occurs to me, oh wait, like my friend is here and my friend is of this group that's this joke is actually poking fun at. Mm-hmm. And they do not see the joke as funny at all. And I'm like, oh fuck. And then I'd have to, you know, pull them aside later and say, yeah, you know, that joke, it actually wasn't funny. And I'm sorry, I laughed at that.
Yeah.
And maybe that could have been handled that way during the Oscars, but I understand we're not Will. We don't know what he's going through. We know part of it. We know what the media tells us. And, you know, everyone likes to poke jokes at the entanglement. We've done it here on our show.
Yep.
So in this moment where he's experiencing heightened emotions, he just laughed at something that he's now realizing is very, very hurtful to his wife. How do you regain that back? You know, and I had this talk with Nadia before we started the podcast. How do you come home and face your family after that? Not just your wife, but your children. And for his children to say, why didn't you defend mom? And that's something he doesn't have to worry about. From here on out, he does not have to worry about coming home to his children and his children holding a grudge and saying, why didn't you defend mom when that happened? Yeah, he didn't have to hit him, but he will never have to live that down, that he didn't defend his wife when his wife was insulted. And, you know, I know that there's many arguments to this. There's people that are like, fuck yeah. Like, I wish more people did it. You know what I mean? I saw some commentary, I forget who it was, but Black women especially are very vulnerable, I think, when it comes to taking the brunt of like insults and jokes. And it's not my place to speak. I'm not a Black woman, but I do understand just the difference that women have to face, generally speaking, and then Black women specifically speaking have to face, especially when it comes to hair. That's a whole nother conversation. And mm-hmm. people pointed that out, that Chris Rock does know better because he produced a documentary about hair and about women, you know, Black women hairstyles, I guess. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. Mm. He should have known, and he does know better. So for him to actually even say that, regardless of whether he knew about the alopecia or not, he could have treaded lightly on that. And was that an appropriate reaction? I think Will definitely was in a position where he needed to defend his wife and defended his honor. Did he go about it the right way? Not my decision to make. All I can say is I don't condone violence, but I understand where that comes from when it comes down to it. And I feel bad for Chris Rock too. I think Chris Rock, he dealt with it the way he should have as a professional and as a host, and saying, okay, I won't, you know, and just keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. All right, I won't. It was a G.I. Jane joke, you know, and he composed himself as much as his jaw or his face must have hurt. He's just like, composed himself, deep breath, took a moment to like recollect and was like, try to make the situation more comfortable.
Yeah, he was teary-eyed. He was teary-eyed though. You can tell.
You could tell. Yeah. And he was certain.
It was painful. I guess it was obviously painful. So that's why he's teary-eyed. And apparently from what I've read too, and I could be wrong and I have to find the source, but this is the second time he made fun of Jada in public about her hair. And I wonder, I didn't know that he did a documentary on Black women's hair, but I'm guessing that's in a different context, right? It's more of like Black women should express how they wear their hair. And I'm not sure if he dived into the topic of alopecia,
right?
Because I mean, clearly that was a very bad joke. And I think let's kind of run through the scene, right, prior to what happened before the slap. So he came on to give out the award for best documentary. At some point, he started his joke and he started making fun of Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz, saying that if Javier won for best actor, then Penelope would feel horrible, so he shouldn't win. And I thought that was like, it's a joke, but it's not really the best joke from Chris Rock. It's almost like he's just freestyling and he's just looking around and seeing, okay, who can I make fun of?
Right.
And it just so happened that Will Smith and Jada were right smack in the center almost of
front
the
row.
Stage. Front row, right? And he obviously probably made eye contact with Jada and is like, you know, Jada, love to see you in G.I. Jane 2 or something like that. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, Will Smith laughed at first. That's the part that's surprising about this whole thing. So clearly, as a comedian, he accepted that joke and he laughed. He got it. He got the joke. Or maybe he laughed out of politeness. I don't know. But when he turned around and he saw how Jada rolled her eyes and gave him that uncomfortable look, or that, I don't know, maybe that the look that says 1,000 words. I don't know. And then some people even joked about her saying, like, whispering the word entanglement. And it triggered him. And he walked up stage and slapped the shit out of Chris Rock. And I was very disappointed because, like you said, Lon, it's like that creates the whole like open season for assaulting a comedian just for telling a joke. And I get it, it's a bad joke, but it's a joke nonetheless. So I did my research. And by doing my research, I mean, I watched a video on YouTube by Legal Eagle. He actually reminded folks that under California Penal Code 240, that is considered an assault.
Mm-hmm.
And if Chris Rock were to press charges, he could also charge him under California Penal Code 242, which is battery.
Mm.
So I want to say big up to Chris Rock for being the bigger man here. He took it well. We can see it was painful, but he didn't lose composure and he even made a joke about it. And he didn't press charges after that because he knew the bigger punishment would come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because I'm following the news nowadays about whether or not they're going to take away the Oscars from Will Smith, because there's already talks about possibly, I think there already talks about cutting footages of him on the Oscars. Like if there's ever a rerun, they're going to take off all the footages that features him. So none of that speech where he gave that pseudo apology, none of that, obviously the slap, which was already cut off from live broadcast. I believe it was captured by the folks in Japan and Australia, but apparently like they cut it off, they managed to cut it off in US. But yeah, I think also to add on to your point about the fact that Will Smith can kind of come home and face his kids and not have to explain why he didn't do it, I like to think that he could have actually set them down and say, hey, look, that was a bad joke and I should have defended your mom. And I did. Maybe what he could have done is he could have pulled Chris Rock aside and gave him an earful about it.
Whooped his ass in private.
Right. He could have said, hey, meet me in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, here's where I speculated, right? We know about the entanglement. And here's the thing. We don't know everything. So I was thinking, so again, all speculation, folks. This is not fact, has not been proven.
Yep.
But, you know, there could have been conversations. And maybe in those conversations, she maybe told Will, well, sometimes I feel like this, or sometimes I feel like this, or sometimes when people talk about us, I feel like this. And in that moment, it was time to, in those conversations, if he said, I'll do better and I'll be better. And in that moment, it was like
proof to her that
it was like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? We don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know what they went through. We know that they had a very public thing going on here with the entanglement thing.
Yeah. And he's mainly put was on the line.
There. Yeah. Think, so right? There he was put in this position, you know, it was just like the perfect storm of things coming together in this moment. I just feel like it was almost like, we don't know 100%. And he sees his wife and she's hurting and is like, oh shit, is it that time? Is it that time for me?
Is this my cue to like,
this is my cue, right? Yeah. To all those things where I said, I'll be better for you all or whatever. And I love you and you're the world to me or whatever, what was said in their marriage between the two of them, where maybe he needed to address his shortcomings, that this was it. He had to do something, and staying quiet at the time was just not going to be enough. Yeah. So I don't know. Again, I don't condone violence, but I understand how human emotions work and the complexities of relationships. It's easy for us, I think, to look at a situation and to just take the facts that we have immediately and to make assumptions on that, and then to jump on it and say, well, he blah, 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 should have done this. We don't know how precarious that moment was for him to see Jada, Daramene, and in that moment have to make a decision of, how am I going to defend her? How am I going to prove that I love her? And how am I going to make up for laughing at first? They're just, you know what I mean? We cannot take into consideration all the things that led up to that moment. All we know is what we know. And then we say, Will shouldn't have done it. Or it could have been better.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know all those. There's so many things that are wrapped up in that moment, I think, that people aren't considering. But I just really had to take time and really just say, what leads to a man on camera doing this, right? There's so much more to the story, you know? And I bet you could make a documentary out of it.
Oh, totally.
You know, you could. And it would show his side. And it would have Jada saying, well, you know, it was really, really close. And the night before, I told him, look, I feel underappreciated and blah, blah, blah. Like, we don't know. And in that moment, he just was like, well, fuck it, man. He walked up and he did what he felt he had to do.
Yeah. So, also, I'm not sure if you saw what Jaden, his son, tweeted.
No, I didn't.
He actually said, this is how we do it. So I guess he got the thumbs
up. He did?
Yeah, because I think maybe, right? You're right, like, Lon. I think too,
talking about my mama, bro.
Yeah, but I think too, Lon, is that you're right about, there could be things that happen behind the scenes that we don't know that culminated to this, right? For example, I, and again, we're being speculative here. I'm being speculative. But because this is not the first time Chris Rock made fun of her bald head, I'm guessing Chris Rock ain't the only one, maybe among the Black community, that's making fun of Jada's bald head. And she just has had enough of it. And maybe this is something that she's voiced out to Will to do something about. Maybe she knows that, hey, Will, your homies have been making fun of my bald head, and they should know it's a medical condition and I'm suffering from it. It makes me self-conscious. You know, I guess this is a message that Will is sending out to everyone, that, hey, don't be talking about my wife's head anymore. You know, let that matter.
I've had enough.
Retire that shit. Retire that shit. So
somebody wrote, I forget, again, I read a lot about it, but somebody wrote, like, and they used the phrase, and I forget if what exactly it's called, but they said, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, obviously this isn't the normal Will we're seeing. This was like one too many. He fucking reached the limit. You know what I mean? So there was a shit ton of stuff that was happening that brought him to this boiling point, and he was keeping his composure the entire time. And then it just so happened that this was the incident, and it happened on live TV, but definitely, like, the straw that broke the camel's back. It was just one too many insults that he could not let go. Like, he could not walk away from. That was it. Like, a line had to be drawn. And I think he said it in his, you know, little tearful acceptance speech when he said, you know, we're expected, you know, to just take it, right? That people can just say shit, and it comes with being a performer, or it comes with being an actor, that they can just say whatever they want, you know, and then we just have to take it.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that. But at the same time, I do think we're all human, and that's kind of an unfair expectation, right? That someone just has to accept these insults because they're in the public eye. So There's a lot. And we keep talking about it, but we might have said enough, unless you have more to say.
For now. For now.
We can keep talking about it. If listeners out there, let us know how you feel about it. You know, we don't have to agree. We can have civil discourse about this.
Yeah. But one thing is for sure, I guess now Oscars are relevant again.
And right. And people were wondering if this was staged. Because they needed something to talk about.
Yeah, because it felt gimmicky when I first caught wind of it while watching 90 Day Fiancé. I was like, no way Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. And then when I saw the photo, I was like, it's a gimmick. This is like one of those skits that they do before they present an award. But then the fact that I was still in disbelief, even after I saw the video, because I really thought it was a skit.
What sold it for me was when Will said, "Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth."
When he cussed, that's when I know. Okay, this
and
is
Chris
a very...
Rock was like, "Okay," like I was like, "Yo, this is not."
This is live TV, and you're cussing. Like, someone at the back is like waiting to like censor you.
Shit went down. This shit went down, and it's super awkward, super tense. And who was the actress? I forget her name, but you could see her reaction. She was sitting behind him to the
Lupita,
right. Even she was like, oh
yeah.
People took some good screenshots of her
reaction. Beyonce, like, Jay-Z, Nicole Kidman had the most dramatic.
She got out of her seat.
She was literally falling off her seat. She was like,
Like, oh.
And everyone else, this is worse than that year where they fudged the best film. It went to La La Land, and then it was actually supposed to go to what was that movie, the one that has Mahershala Ali? They fudged one of those best film awards for that year. And that was a mess. And someone had to like come out, snatch the damn envelope from, oh man, that was a very, was it Warren Beatty? I feel bad because, you know, Warren Beatty.
He read out the. And people celebrated already, right?
Yeah, and people, the entire cast.
Was already on stage. Remember that?
And then one of the, I guess, Academy execs came out and snatched the envelope from Warren Beatty and said, and then actually like flip it and then say, no, it goes to Moonlight. That was the movie, Moonlight, the one with Mahershala Ali. And I was like, oh. Okay, this is messy. I like. we can work with this. Yeah, let's keep going. And then boom, the slap that was heard all over the world.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.
Lon?
Yes?
Any recommendations?
I'm still watching The Dropout.
Ooh.
Highly, highly, highly recommend The Dropout.
Hey.
I love the Dropout. It's on Hulu. It's about...
Theranos,
right.
About
Elizabeth Holmes, stars Amanda Seyfried, and they're releasing it in 4-episode segments, so it's not completely bingey. You can binge, I think, 8 episodes right now if you haven't already, but I binged the first 4 a few weeks ago, and then I came back to it again and binged the next 4, and I'm just like, what? Can you just release the whole thing? So I really can't wait. I don't know how many more episodes are left. I don't know if it's going to be four more episodes. How much longer they're going to string this along, but I liked it. It's the only thing I've watched aside from rewatching Bad Vegan again, because I recommended it.
Yes.
My brother and watched it. Yes. And then I watched it while he was watching it. Yeah.
Yes. Bad Vegan. I think, Lon, that's a totally different segment altogether. There's so much to cover with Bad Vegan. So we should leave it till...
We'll table that one.
Table that one for sure. I finally finished Love is Blind season 1.
Yeah. Did you watch the extra content? Like when they went to the after party and he's dating that one guy that was dating Gianna Gabelli, brought like someone else to the party? No, you didn't.
I've only watched the reunion. I didn't know there was extra. Okay, so I'll definitely
And you don't
keep,
have
I'll
you
keep on
don't
watching.
you
I'll
don't
keep
have
on
to.
watching. Yeah. But yes, Bad Vegan is also my recommendation. And what did I finish watching? Now I'm just watching Drive to Survive, but that's because I'm into Formula One.
Drive to Survive. That's interesting.
Yeah. And Human Resources, if you guys have.
Oh, that's the cartoon.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
animated
I
series.
started
That's,
that. That's
yeah,
funny.
so funny. It's so disgusting and funny at the same time. It's so, yeah, anyway. All right, Lon, anything to say before we say bye-bye?
I hope you guys didn't fall for anything on April Fool's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up. All right, guys. Till next time. Be kind to one
Bye-bye.
another. Bye-bye.